Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, The Introduction, Text Number 67. Mataram Pitaram Bratrin Sarvam Cha Suridas Tata Gnanti Ya Sutripo Lupta Rajana Prayasa Bhuvi Mataram unto the mother, Pitaram unto the father, Bratrin unto brothers, Sarvancha and anyone else. Surida, friends, Tata, as well as Nati, Nanti, they kill, as it is practically seen. He, indeed, Asutripa, those who envy the lives of others, their personal sense gratification. Lubda, greedy. Rajana, such kings. Prayasa, almost always. Bhuvi, on the earth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Prabhupada, we have seen in the history of India that Aurangzeb killed his brother and nephews and imprisoned his father fulfill political ambitions. There have been many similar instances, and Kangsa was the same type of king. Kangsa did not hesitate to kill his nephews and imprison his sister and his father. For demons to do such things is not astonishing. Nonetheless, although Kangsa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed. Thus he attained salvation. Even partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu make one eligible for salvation. Kangsa knew a little about Krishna, that he could not be killed, and therefore he attained salvation, though he thought of Vishnu, Krishna, as his enemy. What then is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly? From the descriptions of Shastras, like Bhagavad Gita, is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita, understand Krishna perfectly. This will make one's life successful. Mataram Pitaram Bratrin Sarvam Chasri Dastada Nati Ya Yasutripo Lukta Rajana Prayaso Bhuvi. Kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Satvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava divananti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. That the material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So presently, all conditioned souls, including ourselves, we've taken birth in the material energy under the influence of certain modes of material nature, combinations of them. Lord Prabhupada writes in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, under the influence of time, the three modes of material nature are bringing about karma. Material nature itself is constituted by three qualities: the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Above these three modes, there is eternal time. And by a combination of these modes of nature, under the control and purview of eternal time, there are activities called karma. These activities are being carried out from time immemorial, or you're suffering or enjoying the fruits of our activities. For instance, suppose I'm a businessman and I have worked very hard with intelligence, I've amassed a great bank balance, then I'm an enjoyer. But then say I've lost all that my money in business, then I'm a sufferer. Similarly, in every field of life, we enjoy the results of our work, or we suffer the results. This is called karma. Generally speaking, the materialists, materialists, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, pravritim ja nivritim ja, jana navida asra, nisocham napichachiro nisatyam teshu vidyate. The materialists, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. And why is that? Asatyam apratishtam te, jagadohara nishram, aparashpuram sambhutyam, kamahaitugam. They say that this world is all unreal, has no foundation, there's no God in control, is reduced to sex desire, and has no cause other than lust. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nastatmano nabudaya pravat nyuga karamana shaye jagatohita. Following such conclusions and laws to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. And what are these work? What is this? What is impelling the whole thing? The ignorance of Krishna, and the result of the ignorance of Krishna, then the demoniac work under the material modes and material nature. Kama mashritya duspuram damba dama damba mana madanvitaha mohad grihi vashad grahan pravartanti suchiva rata. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, this illusion, are always sworn to unclean work attracted by the impermanent. So we can just imagine if due to one's past good deeds, that is, good deeds means following the injunctions of Shastra, following these injunctions of those who are superior, who are repeating the injunctions of Shastra, performing austerity, giving charity, penance, that one gets born as a king, or a queen, or whatever it might be nowadays, or a wealthy person. But then, instead of using those assets in the service of Krishna, one denies Krishna and opposes Krishna. This is called, especially nowadays, they're called Naradamas. Generally, Kalo, Sudra, Sambhava, we were all born into ignorance. We have no idea who we are, who our actual identity is. We didn't even know that we're not this false identity. We're completely absorbed in this false conception of who we think we are from birth. As soon as you take birth, we can see even here there's a little child who comes. And everyone loves a little child and go, Google, Google, little child. Oh, you're so sweet. We love you so much. Little child's going, yes, I'm the center. Yes, that's why I've taken birth. Everyone just love me. I'm here to be loved. So that's why we've taken birth. We take birth. I'm here. Just love me. Serve me. Appreciate me. Unfortunately, we grow up and then we have to struggle to get something close to that attention again. Then we vie with others for the same attention. Of course, if you're born to a family of brothers and sisters, as soon as you're born, everyone loves you, and then the next child comes and you're pushed off to the side a little bit. Sorry, kid, you're too old. You're 2.5 years old. You're too old now. Take care of yourself. So, everyone is born into this delusion, trying to become the center of attention. And what to speak if you're born as a wealthy person in a wealthy family or whatever. We ourselves, we don't have much opportunity to become very famous, very well opulent, whatever, and therefore you can't get into so much trouble. Prabhupada said there's four kinds of people. There is the lazy intelligent, there's the active intelligent, there's the active foolish, and then there's lazy foolish. And out of those, the worst are the active foolish. Because if you're going to be foolish and cause trouble, better to be lazy foolish. Then you can't cause too much trouble. But if you're actively foolish, then you cause all kinds of havoc. The example is the monkey. Has anyone here ever gone to India and seen monkeys? Well, you should go just so you can see these what these examples are. Monkeys, they're always active, especially in Vrindavan nowadays. They've been trained up to be thieves. Actually, they train the monkeys to steal things from people. Steal their wallets. Because, you know, you're a thief in Loy Bazaar, which is a shopping center in Vrindavan, Loy Bazaar. If you some pickpocket comes, which I had experience of, then you have to run after them, chase them, and then they become caught. And usually the police are taking half the money anyhow, so even if you send them to the police, it makes no difference. Then the police just tells them, be more careful next time. In any case, but if you train up a monkey, and the monkey steals your wallet, what can you do if you catch the monkey? Matter of fact, who wants to catch the monkey? He'll bite you. He stole 500 rupees from you, and it cost you 20,000 rupees for the hospital bill. So it's a bad deal. So they train the monkeys. And monkeys are quite happy to steal things. As a matter of fact, that's their only business in Vrindavan. You had some example.
No, the monkeys actually, if they steal, they need something in return. So they need a mango juice in return.
No, they want a banana. Did you ever give a monkey a mango juice?
Yeah, really. These days they have this, we have this mango juice called fruity.
Yeah.
And
you give him a straw too with it.
I just saw this video yesterday. He took some iPad, like this big one, and jumped on the electric wires. And he jumped on these electric wires and just sitting there, and somebody threw the this fruity. And as soon as he got the fruity, and then he dropped the.
Yes, it's a good exchange, you know. And then he brings the fruity to the person who trained him up, and they share it. In any case, he'll be out there again. He'll steal something. And so this is active foolish, causing all kinds of problems. The lazy foolish are like the Shudras who don't do anything. They just eat, sleep, etc. And they're not so active. But if one becomes wealthy and popular and famous and has all kinds of influence, then they can do all kinds of havoc. Then being compelled by lust and anger and greed, they wreak havoc on society. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit, when he found a Shudra dressed as a king, beat her on a cow and bull, he was at once ready to kill him because he was an actually proper Kshatriya king. So modern so-called leaders and people have gotten wealth, they've gotten it usually from cow slaughter, directly or indirectly. Indirectly means that they're actually running slaughterhouses or using the byproducts of the slaughtered animal for their products. And indirectly means that they're involved in the complex technology and industrialization of society, all based upon cow slaughter. And therefore, although they're dressed as a king, although they have the position of administrator in society, actually they're of the lowest nature, because they're involved in the most abominable activity. Therefore, they'll be impelled by the lower modes of material nature. If one is not Krishna conscious and not thoughtful, what does Krishna want me to do? Material nature will automatically impel one to do something. And the lower modes of nature mean that there is no longer any consideration of my father or mother or children or brother or whatever. The only consideration is what my senses are demanding me to do. They believe, as Krishna says, to chintyam aparayam cha pralayam tam upashitya kama pabhoga paramam etavam iti nischita asha pashishitarabhara kama krodha parayana ihanti kama bhogartan anyanena artha sanchaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. So in their principle, their forefront that they base everything on is what's going to satisfy my senses. Even they act polite, the whole idea is to act polite, is to do someone so that I can gratify my senses with them. I may pretend to be a gentleman or a lady or whatever, polite, but actually the whole idea is just manovrate dasati, manovrate nasati davati. Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana savaraganas tatra samasate sura hara bhaktasi kato mahagunan manorate dasati davato bahi. The whole, one may appear to be civilized, but actually, just like a vulture goes very high in the sky, but the whole idea of the vulture going to the sky is to try and find some dead body on the ground to eat it. So one may cultivate so many material talents, so much material subtleties, but if the aim is to find some sense gratification, utilize it for sense gratification, then one is simply a vulture. So nowadays, in the society of Shudras, there are some who are more sophisticated. They're called the Vaishyas. But actually, they're not Vaishyas, they're Naradamas. And the whole idea is that they're the cheaters because they have a little bit more intelligence than the Shudras, than the Mudhas. And therefore, modern society simply, as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupada said, a society of cheaters and the cheated. The so-called Vaishyas, who are actually Naradamas, they dress up Shudras as kings, as leaders, and exploit the citizens in order to get the maximum now sense gratification from them. And as one goes lower and lower into the down in the modes of nature, sense gratification doesn't just mean illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, and animal killing. It means killing everyone. One gets pleasure watching others suffer. The example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Migrari, the hunter. Now he's a hunter, not a very high class occupation, because nowadays it may be considered a very nice occupation, but previously it was considered a very low class occupation, hunting animals in the forest. But not only did he kill the animals, but he enjoyed watching them die in pain. That was his enjoyment. Now, we can imagine it's not a very high level of consciousness enjoying watching other living entities suffer to death, and you're the cause of it. So that means that simply killing things, killing living entities, is not the lower consciousness. There's another level of consciousness where one actually takes pleasure in watching others suffer. So that's what our modern leaders are, some of them at least, are on that level. They believe that there's too many of us, and that their position as controllers of modern society are to eliminate as many people as possible, and at the same time not get eliminated themselves. Do it in such a way that they appear to be philanthropists or whatever, well wishes of society. At the same time, they poison them and kill them in different ways and enjoy watching them die and suffer. And at the same time, put on a, by propaganda, put on a guise of being nice people, friendly people, like Stalin, who was known as the father of Russia. All the children were worshiping him. Even where, when Stalin was starving them to death, they thought he was actually their friend. That's called propaganda. You own the propaganda. If you own the communications, you control it, then even you're the biggest demon that exists, biggest sadistic demon that exists, still by propaganda people think you're a nice person, you're the well-wisher of them, as they try to torture you to death. So Kang Tzu was of that nature. And he's not, he was 5,000 years ago, but people were more elevated than they are nowadays. He killed a few children, but nowadays everyone has become such a demon, they kill their own children. Not only Kang Tzu came and killed Devaki's children, but nowadays people kill their own children. And they encourage others to do it also. So society has become so degraded. Because they haven't come to the end of Kali Yuga, where it gets even lower, where people have children just to eat them. So that's, I guess, as low as it goes in Kali Yuga. But we're getting there. Or maybe we're in some places they're already there. Cannibalism has become, even on the internet, has become somewhat recognized as a valid option. Soon they'll be opening cannibal restaurant. Choose your piece. We serve all parts. Fried, boiled, cooked, however you want it. We're a expansive restaurant. You name it, we provide it. We even give it to you raw if you want. Alive or dead sometimes. You can get it fresh. We're a raw food restaurant. So that's the lowest modes of nature you can conceive of. And those who are in the higher modes of nature, they can't imagine such a thing. And as we can see, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabraved Grayam Indriyai, Sevam Mukehu Jivado, Swayam Evas Paratyada. That no one can become self-realized with their imperfect covered senses, only when one utilizes the tongue. In devotional service, can one become purified and actually experience what the holy name is actually like? So we can understand people's level of consciousness by how they use their tongue, what they talk about, and what they eat. If their diet is abominable, then their consciousness must be abominable also, no matter how much they pretend to be sophisticated. And if what comes out of their mouth, their topic of conversation also reflects where their level of consciousness is, what the modes of nature they're situated under, how they see things. Because according to the modes of nature, that's how we'll see things. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasizes here we should read Bhagavad Gita so we can see things properly, and therefore we'll be careful when we're eating, what we eat and how we eat. and not be fooled by others who are talking all nonsense and eating all nonsense and think that they should be examples or leaders for oneself. You should understand that these are the people who have to become, are the objects of mercy, but not object of respect or adoration. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Kuala. Gurantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.